Welcome in, Eagles fans, to another edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast, available on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. What's going on? It's Lou DiBiase hanging out with you in studio. Today is Saturday, July 28th, and today I am not alone. Joining me over the air on the podcast, it's Johnny Page, the host of our Locked in the Film Room segment right here on the Locked On Eagles Podcast Network. He actually posted his film study of Mac Hollins yesterday. You can check that out on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, wherever you find your podcast. We are up on there and as well on the mothership, LockedOnEagles.com. Johnny, how's it going, man?
Yeah, it's good, Lou. It's good to finally talk to you all the way over here from London. I think this week's been like the first time where it's properly getting exciting for Eagles football. I think over the summer, it's like when you win the Super Bowl, you have a little bit of a hangover.
Right.
But this week, it's like I'm all in. You get the camp stuff going. I'm pretty much all in at the moment. It's been an exciting week just reading training camp tweets and sort of following along what's going on. I think it feels very real now. It won't be too long till preseason kicks off and everything, and we'll actually have real football to talk about, which will be pretty cool.
Yeah, I've lived for this. Honestly, I've been into training camp basically as an Eagles fan since I was, since Twitter was open and you could actually, and even before that, when Dave Spadaro used to do his training camp lives for like 5 hours, I would be there every single day watching. And now I love watching the beat writers go play by play, you know, down the line. It's just something like I eat up in it. You're right, though, with training camp officially opening today. You know, mini camp's fun, OTAs, but now is really the start of football season. You can just feel it, and preseason's coming up, and there's a lot to get into with this Eagles team. I know there's not a lot of battles for starting jobs and whatnot, but don't you agree there's some interesting spots, you know, deeper on the roster? Who's going to be that fourth running back, the nickel corner spot, the weak side linebacker? You know, there are some interesting battles here in training camp.
Yeah, definitely. There's quite a lot to watch, really. I mean, the Wentz storyline to me is not a storyline. I mean,
right.
I've thought this for a while. There's no way that guy's not playing week one based on how far
how
he was.
Did you see how good he looks this week?
Yeah, I mean,
there's no way he's not playing.
No, there's literally no. I genuinely wouldn't be surprised. He'll take snaps in preseason. Maybe not many because I'm not sure how much he needs, but he'll be starting week one. Yeah, there's a lot of positions. Sort of, I'm interested to see how people like Sproles come back as well.
Mm-hmm.
As you mentioned, nickel corner, Will linebacker. Now Kendricks has gone. There's quite a lot really. Safety position, depth there, depth at cornerback. Because I guess one thing the Eagles, they've got a pretty stable roster at the moment. You can sort of tell who's going to start.
Right.
But there's going to be injuries. There always is. So you want to know who those backups are. I think, for example, this week Mac Hollins has been playing the X role with Jeffrey out, which is something I spoke about on the pod about Mac Hollins, that we didn't see him do that last year at all because Jeffrey was always there. So that gives him a chance to do something different. So it'd be interesting seeing how he does, because he'll probably have to deal with more press coverage in practice and stuff
right.
than what he was dealing with last year. So yeah, injuries throw things into the mix. They give players an opportunity. I said on that pod, it would be for Hollins, it might take an injury to give him an opportunity. And it seems like already he's got a little one. So yeah, there's definitely loads and loads of battles to watch. It'd be quite interesting to see where it goes.
So, you know, we mentioned Wentz, and again, like, I think he's going to play against the Falcons. You can just tell if he didn't have the knee brace on and you were watching him, you wouldn't think he was injured. There was even a play today I saw on Twitter where he rolled out of the pocket. Chris Long was pressuring him, and on the run, he was throwing. And that's something I was concerned with was, okay, maybe he will play, but for the first month, maybe he's going to be hesitant to move. And, you know, Wentz is really good inside the pocket and through the confines of Peterson's offense, but Wentz is also one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL when it comes to improv, when the structure breaks down and he yep. needs to go run around and make plays, and that's something we need for him to stay at the elite level he was at in 2017. And it looks like so far from what we've seen, hopefully he isn't hesitant to do that, you know, with the runs, hopefully he gets down, but it looks like he's comfortable moving around outside the pocket and throwing.
Yeah, I think Wentz is just such an aggressive player, full stop. I doubt he'll change the way he plays at
right.
all. I think, honestly, if you could say to Wentz you can't extend a play ever again, you can only play inside structure, I think he would still be a top 10 quarterback. I think he could even develop into something better. But you add in that athleticism, that little extra things that he can do outside the pocket and outside the structure. And actually, it was a really good quote. I did write it down somewhere. I probably won't be able to find it now because I wasn't even thinking about saying it. I've got it, actually. This was something that he said in that Brian Balding, a film room piece. If you haven't had a chance to see it, they're on Game Pass.
Coolest thing I've probably watched in
yeah.
a while.
There was this little quote. I was meant to tweet it out. I will tweet it out tonight after this, but I forgot to. He said, I would genuinely go into scramble mode earlier than some other cases if it's third and long. I could take a 3 yard completion, or I could try my luck at extending a play. And that to me was just like Sam Bradford. He wasn't
Oh,
obviously
God, yeah.
firing shots at Sam Bradford directly, but third and 10, how many times Bradford, it's not there, check down. Because at the end of the day, there is part of a route progression to take that check down. You don't want your quarterback taking hits. So it's not like Bradford's breaking the law. If no one's open on third and 10, if your main read's not open, you check it down. But Wentz has that mentality that actually, I'm not going to do that. That's not good enough. What's the point? And obviously, if you're reckless and you turn the ball over a lot, you take a lot of hits, then that can be a negative. But Wentz has a great balance, I think, between not getting hit a lot and managing to not, especially last year, not throwing those backbreaking turnovers or terrible fumbles or anything. So yeah, I think Wentz will be completely fine week one. I think the second you get into that live action, he'll be running around. I imagine he will slide when he's outside the pocket a little bit more. That's something that he should do. But in terms of extending plays and everything, I think if anything, you can get yourself out of trouble a little bit because you can avoid those big hits. Some of the worst ones are when you're sort of sitting duck in the pocket. If you can get out, then I always think of Russell Wilson about how few shots he takes. I know he takes some terrible shots, but in general, he takes very, very few hits because he always seems to find a way to escape. So yeah, I think week one Wentz will be absolutely ready to go.
You could not have said it better when it comes to Wentz's mindset. And yeah, like you said, it could be sometimes there's reckless plays and with turnovers, but I was never more miserable as an Eagles fan than in 2015 when, it was more than third and seven, and you just had no confidence that Bradford could make a play down the field. Wentz is the opposite, and I love the mentality. And it's not really just with him, it's with the whole team, and it starts with the head coach. When Doug Peterson has an aggressive mindset, it pretty much reflects on who his quarterback is, and I would much rather have it be that way than the way it was. That conservative football in 2015 drove me crazy. I've never been more miserable to watch football, especially Eagles football. Like that year, I didn't want to watch games. It was that hard for me. So you mentioned that Bradford's perfect. He didn't. You're right. He didn't, 100% mention Bradford, but that's exactly what, I thought of too when I saw that quote. Let's get into, just before we get into the defensive line preview, which we are doing today, we're going to wrap up our positional previews on Locked On Eagles. Who are you watching closely at camp? For the first 3 days, there's been some bright spots. I think Dallas Goedert's really popped. I think him and Wentz have clicked. There was a perfect back shoulder throw that Wentz hit Goedert today with a linebacker draped all over him. Goedert's hands have been really good throughout the spring and summer. The cornerback position, I'm sure everyone's watching, is Mills, Sidney Jones. Who's going to play in the nickel? But who are some of the under the radar guys that you're watching? I know Corey Clement's your boy, so he's someone you're always keeping an eye on. But
Yep, top of
who
the
is
list.
top of the list? You're the number one. You're the president, pretty much, of the Corey Clement fan club. But who are some other guys you're watching too?
Yeah, you mentioned a couple of the ones I was going to mention there. To be honest, the absolute number one for me is firstly how they use Dallas Goedert. I'm really interested to see just not really how he plays himself personally. I feel like we're going to know sort of he's going to be good. I feel pretty confident about that. More just how he's used, because it's a free wide receiver league a lot these days, and the Eagles like playing Aguilar in the slot, so they're going to stick with free wide receivers a lot. So I'm interested to see how they get him on the field and what kind of looks they have. The other one for me massively is who plays slot cornerback. In my opinion, slot cornerback is just as important as an outside cornerback these days, if not more important at times. So that is a starting position. I don't really like it when people say, why would you relegate Sidney Jones to the slot and play Mills outside? And well, it's not a demotion. It's who's best in the slot. And if you think the team's better with Jones in the slot and Mills on the outside than it is with Mills in the slot and Jones on the outside, then that's perfectly fine. It's not a case of who's starting. And anyway, you can always put Jones in the slot on nickel downs, and then when you go in base, put him outside. So to me, that's sort of an irrelevant, but that's the one I'm really looking for. The other one is someone we'll mention a little bit. It's hard to follow in camp, but the defensive line, we're going to talk about them in a second, really, so it fits in nicely. But Elijah Qualls, Wivan Nagata, still got anything left? Yeah, the Will linebacker position is the other one. I'm not a fan of, well, I say not a fan, that's a stupid statement to make. Oh, I forgot the name of the guy now. Who's the guy we drafted last year, the safety who's transitioning to linebacker? Oh, terrible knowledge. I have to look it up. The guy we drafted him last year was a safety in college, and he's now competing for the Will linebacker spot alongside Grugar Hill and Corey Nelson. And I personally just think it's people, the way people talk about how easy it is to change position, it sometimes annoys me. It's the same with Mills. I'm going to talk about it on my podcast next week, actually, looking at Razzle Douglas, when people just say stick him at safety as if it's not an entirely different position. And I think expecting anyone to just come in and change from a safety to a linebacker easily is not an easy thing to do at all. So the will linebacker is definitely the other position that I'm looking at very closely.
I want to talk to you guys about Blue Chew. Guys, remember the days when you were always ready to go? Now you can increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed. Listen up, BlueChew.com, that's blue, like the color blue. BlueChew.com brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, which is pretty good. So you can be ready whenever an opportunity arises. Blue Chew is prescribed online and ships straight to your door in a discreet package. So no in-person doctor visits, no waiting in the pharmacy, and best of all, no awkwardness. They're made in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than a pharmacy. Right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and you can get your first shipment free when you use our special promo code, CODE. Just pay $5 shipping. Again, that's BlueChew.com. Promo code is CODE, all caps, CODE, to try it free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring the Locked On Eagles podcast. Yeah, but I like the point you were talking about with the nickel spot and how it's not a demotion, because really, to me, with Jalen Mills, if they decide to move him inside, that's not really a testament of he's not as good as the other guys on the outside. We just don't trust him out there anymore. It's more he fits the mold in the slot, because like you said, Patrick Robinson last year was on an elite level when we're talking about slot corner play. And with guys like Adam Thielen moving inside, a lot of NFL receivers now, some of the best in the league, you know, Odell Beckham plays out of the slot a lot. That's a position now that you have to have corners that can cover in space. And I think whoever it is with Mills or Jones playing there, it's going to be, you know, can they fit there? And that's an extremely important position for the defense.
Yeah, it's a massive position. I mean, it is a starting position. So I think that's probably the best thing you mentioned it already. That's the biggest one that I'm looking for out of any position. I think also just who's lining up there. At the moment, it seems like Sidney Jones, but none of them. I think Mills played it a little bit in college, but I personally don't think Mills is suited to the slot at all. So I'm hoping that it's Jones or Darby, but it seems like at the moment it's Sidney Jones that's taking the snaps there, which makes sense to me. I don't think Maddox is probably ready,
Yeah,
the
I don't think
fourth
so
round
either.
cornerback. So I imagine, fingers crossed, if Sidney Jones stays there, I'll be pretty happy with that, actually. I'm quite happy with Darby, Jones inside, and Mills on the outside.
Yeah, I'm with you too there on that one. For me, two under the radar guys I'm watching are both at the wide receiver position, and it's Shelton Gibson and Greg Ward Jr. 'Cause to me, you're high on Mac Hollins, you know, and I think he's gonna have more playing time in 2018. But Shelton Gibson's a guy that I think the Eagles really do believe in, and that's why they kept him on the roster last year, despite having a pretty bad summer, especially with drops. And even today, I saw Ben Solak tweet out at training camp that there were a number of different plays where the Eagles were trying to get Shelton Gibson out in space because he is a burner deep, but he also, you know, his run after the catch ability is pretty impressive. I was watching back some film from his West Virginia days, and he runs angry and after the catch. So I think if he's also someone to keep an eye on, maybe next year when if Mike Wallace isn't on the team anymore, he fills that role as kind of the burner that the Eagles have been trying to replace DeSean Jackson with over the past couple of years, with Torrey Smith last year and Mike Wallace this year. So it's him and then Greg Ward. You know, Johnny, we need someone to throw the Philly special this year, and Greg Ward Jr. played quarterback, right? So we need someone to replace Trey Burton.
Yeah, fair point. Also on Gibson, it's worth noting that any beat guys, or particularly I think Josh Norris, who seemed to have really good connections with who the Eagles liked, pretty much knew they were going to go after Shelton Gibson. It just seemed like common knowledge that the Eagles really, really liked him. And I think, as you said, they obviously liked him enough to keep him on the roster, despite the fact last year was a pretty big disaster. And they had someone in Bryce Treggs, who I know they brought back, who's now hurt, but who can play a little bit. I'm a little bit of a fan of him. I've got a soft spot for him, and they kept Gibson over him despite the fact he had a terrible camp. So they obviously see something in Gibson they do like. So I think you're right. He's definitely someone to watch as well. I think he could rebound and maybe give him a little bit of a vertical threat that, as you mentioned, next year could be quite valuable.
Yeah, I like the point that Roseman made last year, because when they asked why they kept Danelle Pumphrey on the roster and why they kept Shelton Gibson, Roseman really was talking about how it's not, we don't draft these players because of what they're going to be in year one. It's year two, year three, year four down the road, what we think these players can be. And I'm glad they didn't just give up on Gibson yet, because I think, and he had a big play today to end practice. Carson Wentz hit him on a big 25-yard reception down the field. So I have high hopes for Gibson as well. I think him and Greg, I think if the Eagles decide to keep six wide receivers, I'm watching Greg Ward Jr. The Eagles really do like him as well, and he's made some tough catches so far throughout the summer. Those are two receivers I want to keep an eye on. I'm very interested in this battle at receiver. Marcus Wheaton is also in the mix. Bryce Treggs, like you said, that's a fun spot to watch. Let's get into defensive line now, which is what we're previewing as we wrap up our positional previews right here on Locked On Eagles. And Johnny, it's a position that was voted as the NFL's deepest positional group of any team in the league. You know, it was a staple last year in why the Eagles won the Super Bowl. Brandon Graham, of course, finishing it all off with the strip sack on Tom Brady and Derek Barnett jumping on the ball to pretty much seal the deal for the Eagles winning the title last year. And they've been so dominant in four-man pass rush, and that's why it makes it so much easier too in coverage, not having to blitz. I think that's an awesome part of it, of why this team, you know, this defensive line has been so important for the defense. Right now, though, Brandon Graham is injured. He's on the PUP list. Timmy Jernigan's on the NFI list. It gives opportunities for younger guys to step up. You mentioned Elijah Qualls, who maybe aren't we talking about that could make an impact here in the interior? Because remember, too, Haloti Ngata deals with injuries a lot. He is pretty much at the twilight of his career. Who should we watch here on the defensive line?
Yeah, it's a really interesting point, actually. I mentioned you before, sort of when we were talking before the pod even started, that I think there's not been much said because we're obviously optimistic about how strong the Eagles' defensive line is. I think Cox and Graham are probably the two best defensive players on the team, with Jenkins up there as well. But the Eagles are going to miss Vinnie Curry, in my opinion. I think he was a good player. And they're also going to miss Bo Allen a little bit, especially if you look at stats last year. Bo Allen had, per PFF, the highest run stop percentage out of anyone, joint most run stops of all defensive linemen last year, joint with Fletcher Cox at 16. Now, obviously, context is more important than stats here because Cox is going to be getting double teamed more, etc., etc. But still, I mean, Haloti Ngata only played 52 snaps last year in terms of run stopping snaps. So four tackles, I think, but not a great deal, or four stops per PFF. But he didn't really play a great deal. And they're going to miss Jernigan. And people just sort of say, well, it's fine because Graham will move inside and Michael Bennett can play defensive tackle. And I'm thinking, well, yeah, that's what they do on pass rushing downs anyway. Jernigan wasn't on the field last year on pass rushing downs anyway much. What I'm talking about is, all right, it's first down, you're playing the Cowboys, it's first and 10, you're not lining up Michael Bennett or Brandon Graham at defensive tackle as the one technique when you're going up against the Cowboys and they're going to run the ball down your throat. You need a defensive tackle. So you look behind Cox with Jernigan out, and you've pretty much got Ngata, Destiny Veyo, and Elijah Qualls. I mean, Ngata didn't really do a lot last year, so maybe he's got something left in the tank. We'll see. Destiny Veyo was okay. He was sort of just a guy. He flashed at times. There's a couple of nice plays, but I think he's got a lot to learn. So Qualls is the one that I'm really interested in, actually. In my sort of preseason breakdown last year, I was really impressed with him. Didn't watch him pre-draft at all, but I thought he was sort of a rare, sort of those, not rare, but one of those big boys who can move. He looked really good last preseason. He had really good power, good leverage. He showed good athleticism. There was a couple of plays where he sort of sent offensive guards flying and made the tackle, but he was also a little bit slow off the mark, and I think there's no pass rush ability with him there. So he's the one that I'm kind of watching at a defensive tackle position. I mean, and dare I say, we obviously don't want this to ever happen, but if Cox happened to miss a week or two, I mean, they're actually a little bit thin there. I think depending on Jernigan's injury and what you read about it might not be Gray, I think, is a back injury, isn't he? And I reckon he could miss quite a bit of playing time. Whether he'll be the same player, how long he'll be there for. So it's all very well saying, well, we'll just move Bennett and Graham inside. Well, yeah, I expect them to do that. But that's in pass rushing situations. So I'm a little bit worried that the depth isn't as strong as it was last year. When you think that they had a healthy Jernigan last year, a healthy Cox, and Bo Allen, who can play. I mean, don't underestimate the role Bo Allen played last year. As I just mentioned, he had the joint most running stops with Cox and more than Jernigan. And I think snaps wise, in terms of like early downs, Bo Allen played a lot. Don't have the exact number in front of me, but the fact he had more stops than Jernigan and the same amount as Cox tells you that Bo Allen was a significant player last year. He did play quite a lot of snaps. So you're losing him and Jernigan, and you're really replacing him with Ngata, who barely played last year. So I think there is a little bit of room there for concern about the defensive tackle. But I think Qualls is the one who has some upside for me, because I have mentioned I don't care about third down. I'm not looking at third down defensive tackle because Bennett and Graham can do that role. I'm thinking that first down role, I'm sort of hoping that Qualls flashes in preseason and he could be the one that takes it. So I think we'll see.
Yeah, you're right. We do need someone to step up because, like you said, you know, knock on wood, if Fletcher Cox ever did go down, Timmy Jernigan with a herniated disc, he's probably, you know, he can only miss maybe the first few weeks of the regular season, but there is a possibility that heading, you know, into October, maybe middle of October, Timmy Jernigan could still be out, and that's a big loss because, like you said, I'm very excited about the possibilities on third down with what the Eagles could use, kind of like the NASCAR lineup, what they can use inside on pass rushing situations. But they do need one of these young guys in Destiny Vio and Elijah Qualls to step up for Timmy Jernigan if they want to continue to be a dominant run-stopping defense. What is your overall opinion? Because before the show, you were talking about, obviously, NFL.com was very high on this defensive line. Most people are because they did lose Vinnie Curry, but Michael Bennett is a proven pass rusher. Although he had 8.5 sacks, it was probably one of his actually worst seasons in the past couple years. But he's a big name, so people aren't really concerned with the loss of Vinnie Curry. You bring in Josh Sweat in the fourth round. Brandon Graham's still here. Chris Long is brought back. Derek Barnett, year two. So it seems promising, but what is your overall take on the defensive line, and should we have some concerns? Obviously, in the interior, like you said, but just overall as a whole.
Yeah, so I mean, it's sort of being picky, isn't it? Because the Eagles have an unbelievably good defensive line. I think you can't really argue against that, as I mentioned, Cox, Graham in particular. You do wonder a little bit, though, looking this year. I wonder, especially at defensive end, whether Bennett, I don't think he had his best year last year. I find it hard to compare the Eagles' line to other lines because I don't watch the other teams as much as I watch the Eagles. So I'd still say the Eagles have a top three or whatever, maybe even the best defensive line. I think I watch a lot of Jags, to be fair, and the Jags' defensive line is a little bit more young and upcoming than maybe the Eagles, where they are a little bit older. So Bennett is a good player. I mean, Michael Bennett, I think, will be a fine player here, but I personally think he'll be worse than Vinnie Curry was last year. I think he'll end up with more sacks than Curry because Curry had a weird year where he didn't get many sacks. Again, if you look at PFF for pressure, Curry had the most QB hits out of any player last year. Yet Graham ended up with a lot more sacks than him, and even Barnett ended up with more sacks than him. But Curry was an effective pass rusher. I think we'll see. I hope that Chris Long will be able to keep doing it for another year. Whether Stephen Means will make the team, I don't know. He didn't really play much last year, but he could be somebody to look out for. I think they should be very, very strong in third down still because Cox is an absolute freak. Graham's a superb player. But I think the interesting one will be how Barnett, how much better he gets as well. I mentioned him a lot on my podcast, specifically on Barnett. I like Barnett, but I'm not sold on Barnett yet. And also, one other thing to look at, which was just something I was looking at when I was looking at some stats of players last year, is they don't really switch their defensive ends a lot, the Eagles. They're pretty set in stone. So 90% of Graham's stats are on left defensive end. 93% of Chris Long's snaps were at left defensive end. So Long replaced Graham. But Barnett had 96% at right defensive end, and Curry was 95% right defensive end. It was pretty simple. Graham and Curry were your starters, Graham at left, Curry at right. Then Barnett was at right and Long was at left. What's interesting though is Michael Bennett played on the left side 85% of the time as well. So you've essentially got Graham, Long, and Bennett, who all played 85 plus percent of the snaps at the left defensive end position last year, and only Derek Barnett, who played the majority of his snaps at right defensive ends. Now, I'm sure Long and Bennett are veterans. They can play anywhere, I'm sure. But as I mentioned with transitioning from position, I think people just assume it's really easy to transition again from one side to the other. Yes, the technique's the same, but you're basically doing everything with the opposite hand. A
True.
spin move becomes the opposite way. So if you're very used to playing one way, I think that sort of tells me that maybe they are expecting quite a bit from Barnett. So I think at the end of the day, he was the main one that played right defensive end last year. They took him with a 14th overall pick last year. I think the fact they let Curry go, number one, it tells you that when you draft someone in the 14th overall pick, you have to put trust in them. That's part of it. You can't afford to overpay Curry when you've drafted. There's no point in drafting Derek Barnett if you give Curry a huge contract. But I think Derek Barnett's going to have a big year. I think actually when I was looking at it, I sort of assumed, well, they got Long, Bennett and Graham. But when you think about it, third down, one of them's going to be inside. So there's going to be a lot of time for Barnett to play. So I think Derek Barnett is going to have to step up this year. And if he does step up, then they've got a very, very, very strong line. But I think some of it will be a little bit on whether Bennett can get back some of his form from a couple of years ago and also how much Derek Barnett can step up. So it'll be interesting to see.
Yeah, I think Barnett is an interesting case because he did have 5 sacks, and on paper, that's pretty good for a rookie, but like you said on your podcast, and people have been discussing, a lot of it was against tight ends that that offense has put on him, which is pretty disrespectful. And he was going up against backup tackles. He was part of two of the biggest plays in Eagles history. But again, you got to look deeper in with the film. And I'm with you that it wasn't as impressive with Derek Barnett as maybe people think, but I'm still expecting big things from him in year two, just partly too. Vinny Curry was huge against the run too. That's a part that people don't really talk about with Vinny Curry, was how good he was as a run stopping defensive end. Of course, the sacks didn't really come up, but he led the league in pressures and hits, or in hits on the quarterback, so they didn't result in sacks, but you had that. But it was also his ability to stop the run, and that's something actually I think Derek Barnett was stronger in last year. I thought he actually played a big role there. He had some success in getting into the backfield and getting after the running back. So that's something also we need to watch out for, is, you know, against the run, that's something Derek Barnett can take another step and become a complete defensive end.
I think you'll have to there, because as we, I think I mentioned my point as well, he didn't really play first down much. So I think you're right. He looked good against the run, and actually in college, I thought he was good against the run, but we didn't see him on first and 10 much last year. And I think there is a difference. There's a difference in that mentality. Okay. I always use the Cowboys as the example, just because they are the traditional running team. When they've got a tight end in the game, they've got Ezekiel Elliott in there, Dak Prescott's under center, and you know that ball's going to be run down your throat. You know that's what they want to do. They don't hide it. They don't disguise it. I think that's a different role for Barnett. I think if he's thrown in on first down, I think that's a different mentality. I think that first and 10, you're trying to get a one-yard gain, two-yard gain, so you can set them up third and long. Whereas Barnett last year, even when he had good run plays, as you mentioned, they were quite often on second and long, where if the running back gets 3 or 4 yards, it's okay. Or they're third and long, where you're not even thinking about the running game. And if it is like a draw play or something, it's not really your... You can sort of ignore him. You can get upfield and let a linebacker cover you. So I mean, I'm really interested to see if Derek Barnett does start. And also, just on that note, again, per PFF, I didn't watch Michael Bennett last year, but his run stop percentage was only 7%, which is lower than every other Eagles defensive end last year. Graham was at about 12%. Curry was at like 10%. So I'm not sure how. I haven't watched Bennett a lot. I need to really watch a little bit about him. But based on stats-wise, he wasn't the greatest run defender last year.
Which makes it even more likely, right, that Barnett starts.
Yeah, I think that does make it likely. I think Barnett, I expect to be that week one right defensive end, which means he's going to be out there on first and 10. So he's going to have to get used to those power running teams that are going to run the ball down his throat. So it'll be interesting to see how he handles that.
Yes.
But like you, I do think he flashed. I do think he has the ability to play the run. It's just we didn't really get a chance to see him do that much last year.
Yeah, it's when we saw it, though, I think I liked what I saw. But like you said, though, he is going to have to – it's going to be different when the Cowboys are stacking the offensive line strong on his side. Yeah, if it's – he's on the right side going up against Smith and a tight end. That's something that he definitely has to continue to get better at, and he's going to see more of that this year. It's going to be a big season for Derek Barnett in year two. What about another young guy in Josh Sweat? This was a fourth-round pick out of Florida State that some people saw as a steal. If he didn't have the knee injuries that he had and the knee issues he had in high school, maybe he's a higher pick. What is his ceiling? I really like him. I think he pops on the film when we're talking about his speed and athleticism. He is someone almost that, you know, I like Derek Barnett as a technique guy. I think he doesn't rely more on speed and athleticism, but Sweat almost seems like the better just overall talent, just gifts really on the field. What's your take about Josh Sweat, you know, heading into his rookie year? He might be a significant part of this rotation soon, maybe not this year, but down the road. Michael Bennett could end up getting cut this year if the Eagles try to free up some cap space. Brandon Graham needs a new contract. I don't think Chris Long's going to be here past 2018. They're going to continue to invest in the position they always do, and I think they'll end up drafting some guys, and I think Brandon Graham will get paid. But Josh Sweat, sooner rather than later, might have to be a significant player in this defense.
Yeah, Sweat is a really interesting guy. I didn't watch a lot of his film before the draft, but he absolutely jumps off the screen. I watched quite a bit of it afterwards. Where you have to just point out the injuries, I mean, it's something that there's no way he goes in the fourth round. So I am one of those fans that gets a little bit more worried about taking injured players. I think some people should assume, well, it's fine, you take them whenever, they'll be fine. And even with Sidney Jones, I was a bit cautious. Everyone wanted him, even I wasn't that sure on him. And I can't think off the top of my head, but there are lots of examples of teams drafting injury-prone players or players that have had problems and those problems consistently affecting them in the league. You look at someone like Jason Verrett, who recently got done. Look how good of a player he is. But in 5 seasons, I think he's played like 1,000 snaps because he's injury-prone. So there's no point being very good. And I remember watching his workout for his pro day or something, and he didn't move very fluidly when he was... I know he was going back into coverage, but you could see he was sort of running with a limp. And one thing I remember clearly when they spoke about when the NFL draft pick came in, and it was Josh Sweat and Bucky Brooks, I remember specifically was talking about him, and he was saying, look at how lean his lower body is, and I think that's something people have mentioned. Sidney Jones has got very, very, very weak calves. I've seen people mentioning after his Achilles injury, and Bucky Brooks said it's not a case of sort of can he play, it's a case of how long he can play. So I think with sweat, it's an interesting one because you do have to take that in consideration without getting too excited. But on talent wise, he absolutely jumps off the screen. I mean, you mentioned athletic profile. Go and look at, if you ever use mock draftable, go and look at his spider diagram. I like spark score or something as well. He was the second highest spark score athlete at the edge position last year's draft, 95% athlete, which basically means, and defensive end is an athletic as hell position. I mean, those guys are probably the best athletes. He is in the 95th percentile out of every defensive end in the league, or every edge defender in the league. So that's including 3-4 linebacker type edge type. So he is unbelievably explosive, and you can see it on the tape. There's times when his feet just move unbelievably quickly. He shoots off the line of scrimmage and pushes offensive tackles backwards. He has really good length and talent. There were flash plays where he looked very, very good, and he looked good against the run as well. I think where his weaknesses are is I don't really see him bend the edge consistently. I think he's more of an explosive sort of bang, knocks the offensive tackle backwards straight away, more of a ball rush player. I think he has to develop that counter move. Again, that's something most young players do, so does Derek Barnett. And I think similarly to Derek Barnett, actually, he's a player who has to win in the first three steps. If sweat doesn't come flying off the ball and he doesn't beat you early on and you get two hands on his chest, I think he'll struggle to disengage. But that's quite similar to Barnett. But he has rare explosive ability, and he's a rare, rare athlete. Again, 95th percentile. So I think there's certain things he can develop on. He hasn't got Barnett's ankle flexion. He hasn't got that bend that Barnett's got. That is a rare trait that Barnett's got. But athletically, Sweat may be better. And I think in terms of pure explosiveness, I think Sweat may be better. I think there's no doubt he's an absolute steal in the fourth round. I mean, you have to think about how bad those injuries are. That he still went in the fourth round, which tells you just how talented he is.
That's
I think
true.
the Eagles probably felt they had enough depth to take a risk on him, but he is definitely someone I'm looking out for. I mentioned Stephen Means as well, just because I've always felt he played quite well in preseason, but whether Means actually gets a chance, we'll see. But again, if what's his name? If Michael Bennett's used inside a lot, then they're not going to they don't play their pass rushers that much. No one stays on the field for 80% of the time in the Eagles, not even Graham, not even Cox. So Derek Barnett, even if he starts, will not play on every third down. It won't happen. So if you're pushing Michael Bennett inside and you've got to rest Brandon Graham, then you could have a sort of third down defensive package at some point of Michael Bennett out one out inside, sorry, with Cox, Chris Long on the other flank. And if you're resting Barnett and Graham, it could be Sweat's time to come in. So I think he will play this year. So he is definitely someone to watch in training camp. I just really hope for his sake and for our sake his knees hold up. It's always a shame when you get someone that talented not be able to do things. But when you actually look at film of him as well, I do it does stand out that he does have quite a lean, quite a skinny lower frame, and that's not always great for a defensive end. But then again, he's had injuries with the knees, so of course you imagine, just like anyone else, if you get hurt, how much can you train? He's obviously not been able to train that hard on his lower body, so he's a bit he's sort of a lot bigger in the upper half and he's at the lower half. That's something I hope he can develop in the weight room this year as well. And hopefully that will stand him in good stead in the future to not get any injury problems.
Yeah, hopefully. I mean, if he shows the flashes he did at Florida State, and I almost think too he was underutilized at Florida State, I think he's going to be in a better defense that's going to give him more opportunities to go after the quarterback. And I was getting excited just thinking about the lineup. If he shows some signs, if he, barring he is healthy, of course, if he shows some signs in the preseason enough to give him reps in the regular season, if you have him on the outside with Chris Long and Bennett and Cox inside, that's a pretty scary lineup considering you're resting your other two starting defensive ends in Barnett and Graham. So
Yeah, no doubt.
I think he's in the perfect situation where, you know, because of the health issues, he's not a guy you're going to want to rely on, like, okay, we need you to be a starter from day one. That's not something that's realistic. But I think the Eagles had the best opportunity and the best scenario to draft Josh Sweat because he can come into a situation where he doesn't have to even be the fourth defensive end right now in the lineup. He can be a guy they rotate sparingly or maybe just not really play almost at all. Maybe they rest him a lot like they did Sidney Jones last year and just make sure he's fully healthy so that in year two he can become a contributor to this team. But, you know, again, like you said, his athletic profile, it jumps off the map, and I'm really excited for his prospects, and we'll see. Maybe in year two he is more important because I think they're gonna, like I said, I think they're gonna pay Brandon Graham, but Michael Bennett right now is an $8.7 million cap hit. Who knows if they're gonna want to spend more money on him considering all the other guys they got to pay. And Chris Long might end up being gone next year. They do have draft picks, but Sweat's a guy that's on the roster right now, and hopefully we see him have an extended role.
Yeah, I think actually when you look at that, I think they'll pay Graham. I think they'll find a way to keep Graham for a while. So I think I can sort of not assume Graham will stay, but I think he'll have to. I think Bennett is the one that will this year will depend on it, and definitely Chris Long as well, who can't keep being good every year. Again, you realise actually when you look down the line that Barnett has to be the guy really. If Barnett doesn't develop, then they're a little bit short.
Tough spot.
Yeah, I know, it's weird, isn't it? It's funny how things change extremely quickly. I think with Sweat, I think they are counting on Sweat a little bit. I think you're right, it's the absolute perfect situation for him and for team. So let's just hope it works and the Eagles may end up with a steal if it does. If it doesn't, then I think you'll see next year them look to the edge position early on in the draft and free agency again.
Yeah, I agree with you. So last thing for us, Johnny, who, you know, there's a lot of guys that are going to have opportunities to go after the quarterback. Fletcher Cox was over 5 sacks last year. So was Brandon Graham at 9.5. Derek Barnett hit the 5-sack mark. This year, they brought in Michael Bennett. You know, Chris Long is still here. Who do you have as your pick to lead the team in sacks?
Good question. I think it will be between Cox and Graham for me. I think Barnett was slightly lucky last year in the number of sacks he got.
Yeah,
but it's worth mentioning that the odds are Barnett's going to get a lot of one-on-ones because he's going to be with the first team and they're going to be doubling Cox and Graham. I think, though, I will go with Brandon Graham again just because I think he will move inside as defensive tackle. And I think what Jim Schwartz does really well is he makes it difficult to sort of, well, you can't double everyone, but he makes it difficult to pick people up. He'll use players in specific roles. So he'll maybe even put Cox outside occasionally and he'll know that you have to commit a running back to him. Or if he puts Graham as a free technique next to Cox, he'll know that the center is going to go and double Cox and that will leave Graham one-on-one. So I'll go with Brandon Graham. I think Fletcher Cox is a bit of a better player, but I imagine he'll be the one taking the double teams. But after everything I've said about Barnett and saying I'm not fully sold on him, I think he's in a great position to get some very favourable looks because offensive line are not going to be focused on him, especially when he's running with the ones. Last year, he was running with the twos, and arguably he was the biggest threat on that defensive line, whereas this year I think he'll be running a lot more snaps with Graham and Cox, and they will take attention. So I think there is a chance Barnett could lead this. And also Barnett has that move where when he wins with that bend, there's always a chance we'll get a sack. Quarterbacks won't see it coming, whereas Cox is coming up the middle. So I think Cox and Graham, I still go one and two. Still put Graham number one, Cox number two. But I, even despite the fact I'm a little bit down on him than some, I still think Barnett could be up there.
Yeah, I went back and forth with this, and I actually have the same one as you with Brandon Graham, but I like your point about Barnett. He is going to, especially maybe on third downs, if you have Bennett inside and Cox and Brandon Graham, those are all threats to get to the quarterback. Derek Barnett almost might be the fourth guy that you want to concern yourself with when it comes to going after the quarterback, but Brandon Graham's also in a contract year, and that's something we can't ignore because players in the NFL normally play extremely well in their contract year. I go back to just 2014 when Jeremy Maclin was in a contract year. He blew up for over 1,000 yards, and players normally, when they're trying to get paid, end up playing better, and that's something that's going to motivate Brandon Graham this year, and I think he surpasses that 10-sack mark for the first time in his career. So, you know, it's the same one as you, and it'll be interesting, but I'm glad that they have, you know, consistently invested in the defensive line because having more pass rushers, the better. And we need that competition between the guys. You know, I want a friendly competition of who's going to get the most sacks, and it's only going to help like it did back in, you know, 2011, the Dream Team year. One of the bright spots was the pass rush. Trent Cole that year had 11 sacks. Jason Babin had 18, and they kept going back and forth with who's going to get to the quarterback first. And it's going to kind of be like that this year because the Eagles have so many options, at least for one more year, with possibilities of players getting after the quarterback. So I think it's Brandon Graham as well. I think Michael Bennett's going to get, you know, 8.5 sacks was a lot last year for him, considering, you know, how they used him. But I think we're looking at it's probably going to be Barnett and Graham that probably end up with the most sacks on the team.
Yeah, I think that's fair enough. I think people always say Jim Schwartz's defense goes with works of rushing four, but not just Jim Schwartz. I mean, the entire NFL. I think the best defenses ever, really, especially in the modern day with how quickly offenses get the ball out. Blitzing is not a dying art. It's a very, very important part of the game still, but the best defense is the ones that get pressure with four. It's where the game starts. I think where you win and lose as a defense, you can sort of You can survive without great corners. You can survive with other players that aren't elite. I think that defensive line is the most important part.
I
And I
agree
think
with
they're
that.
still in a very good position, Eagles. There's just a couple of positions, unlike last year, I think they may be slightly weaker. So I think all that will mean is they've drafted for this. They knew it was coming. That's why they signed the Garter. That's why they drafted Derek Barnett with the 14th pick last year, despite the fact he wasn't going to start. So they've drafted for this. The Eagles, they have prepared for it. They've gone out and signed Bennett. It's just a case of whether those players can step up and play at the same level that players like Curry and Jernigan and Bo Allen did last year. So it'd be really interesting to see.
Absolutely. Johnny, thanks for coming on the show today. You're going to hear more from me and Johnny throughout the year as he is now a member of the Locked On Eagles Network. Check out his podcast every week, Locked in the Film Room. Yesterday, he went in on wide receiver Mac Collins and his rookie tape from 2017. Johnny, thanks again for joining the show, and hopefully I'll have you back on down the road.
Yeah, no problem. I'll speak to you soon. It's been good.
Absolutely. Thanks, man. All right, that was Johnny Page joining us on the Locked On Eagles podcast. Available as always on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Thanks for listening. I will be back Monday continuing our coverage as Eagles training camp is fully underway. For now, for Johnny Page, I'm Lou DiBiase signing off. This has been the Locked On Eagles podcast. Thank you for listening, and let's go Birds.